Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 146. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hello, love.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, my God. It's so gorgeous today.
It fall is falling.
It's just now like perfect t-shirt weather. Not a bit of sweat. Mm-hmm. Very different than our weekend.
Yeah, the weekend was like super steamy, unseasonably hot.
And tragic.
You know, the Chicago Marathon, the LaSalle Bank Marathon, which has become formerly known as the Chicago Marathon, has become the big thing in town.
It's one of the biggest marathons in the U.S.
It is. It is. The numbers are quite staggering, the amount of people who came. And the heat really threw everybody for a curve this year. There was actually one fatality. There was a gentleman who already had some existing heart problems, and he joined the race. And, you know, there's this big debate going on in the blogosphere right now. It's kind of in the news over the weekend. I'm not sure if you caught, obviously you caught news of the gentleman who died.
Yeah.
But there's a big debate going on right now, and everybody's writing about it. Now, finally, all the editorials are starting to come out about it. And there's this big thing about people saying, you know what? The organizers of the race are to blame. The organizers of the race should have had more water, should have had more rest stops, should have done... Well, you know what? The organizers of the race, they shut it down, actually. This is the first time that I can find in recorded history.
Yeah, I think it is the first time.
Where they shut the race down because it was too hot. The race kicked off at 8. By 11:30, it was so warm that they shut it down. They did not let people finish. They said, you need to stop. Of course, by that time, the gentleman had already had some problems, and he had... I'm not sure if he passed away before or after they shut it down.
Well, people were passing out so fast they didn't have paramedics and enough help to get the people off the streets.
The services were lacking because so many people were passing out. And so there's this big thing.
Yeah, they had like 300 people, right, that were admitted to the hospital.
There's this big thing. I saw it in the Trib. I saw some stuff in the Times. And there are polls. You know, now it's the blame game. This is so the litigious American society. Now who am I going to blame? Who am I going to blame? Who's at fault? Who's at fault? Who's at fault? Oh, it's the organizers of the race. Oh, it's the city. Oh, they should have had more hoses. Oh, they should have had more cups of water. Oh, you know what? It's kind of all bullshit.
Yeah.
If you wanted to run the race, you got out there and ran the race. So many people that I know that volunteered as part of the race were warning people. It was their job to warn the people to say, it is going to be hot today. The weather for the last day, saying the weekend is going to be a steam going
to be
hot. Yeah,
it was 88 degrees. And it was really, you know, the interesting thing was that it cooled off a little bit after noon.
Right.
Because at 1 o'clock, I was at the beach and there was a lot of cloud coverage. Mm-hmm. And it was that morning that was so hot.
Yep. And Saturday was the same exact day as Sunday. The morning was so hot and sticky and thick.
And then cloud coverage came.
And then it came and then it cooled down. But people just didn't seem it for some reason it didn't seem to register. So many people entered the race and then all these people got sick and unfortunately one gentleman passed. So it's a tragedy. I'm not trying to make light of it, but you know what? There's nobody to blame in this.
Right.
And if you're gonna point the finger at the runners. People who are like, No, I have to keep going. No, honey, when your body says stop, when your body can't get enough water, you stop and take a drink. You don't keep running because you're thirsty.
How would you know the freaking difference, though? Because I feel like I would feel like I was going into cardiac arrest, even if it was a cool day and I was running a marathon.
Well,
so do you think they train enough that they all know, or do you think there are people out there who really don't train enough, and so therefore they don't know their bodies well enough to know, I'm running a marathon, and this is how it feels when you run 26 some odd freaking miles?
I don't think it's training. I think it's people with the need to prove something. They need to prove that they made it through the marathon. I am entering this race. I entered this race so many months ago that, God damn it, I'm going to finish this race. I paid $110 and I'm going to finish this race. Well, no, it actually doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do that. You have to listen to your body. You can't ignore it. And the people who dropped, they dropped because they were ignoring their body. Any good runner will tell you, anybody who's experienced in that field will tell you that the first lesson to learn is to learn your body, to listen to it. And they are taught that kind of stuff when they are running. What's the first thing you hear on an exercise tape? If there's pain, stop.
Right.
You know, what's the first thing your trainer...
But there's got to be pain in running a marathon. People have blisters on their feet. They can't walk after they've finished. I mean...
If you're thirsty, what are you supposed to do?
Drink.
And if there's not a drink of water, what are you supposed to do? Go get a drink of water. Yeah. Don't keep running in the marathon. It's just, I think there was a lack of education on the participants' part. Yeah. I don't think it's the responsibility of the race, of the people who organize the race, to train everybody. Now, with that said... What this whole event has done is this whole event is going to change every single race that happens, probably globally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really going to be a knock-on effect on everything else that we have to do. But I'm so amazed by people, by people who are people who have nothing to do with the race, who are so removed from what's going on, commenting and saying idiotic things like, well, they should sue and blah, blah, blah. And this, you know, this, it's a big point of contention between me and a couple of people I know who are writers. That I think they're absolutely deadpan wrong in what they said.
Yeah.
The only pretty public person I saw was in the Times today. He had a really great piece. He was like, hello, if you weren't feeling good, you should have stopped running. What are you trying to prove? Who do you have to prove it to?
Right.
You don't. You know, this is not a pissing contest. These are not contestants who were paid to win a game. You know, they're not football players who are out in the heat and falling out because of heat stroke.
Right.
It's not that kind of thing. It was definitely a voluntary thing. So,
well, and you know, we had this kind of issue as well during the gay games here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We had unseasonable heat and there was a lot of complaints that there wasn't enough water out and a lot of people passing out. And they really did. They had to try to get more and more mm-hmm. water down there. And, you know, I don't know if they had enough water stations or if they increased them based on, because you do enter your, you do pay your fee and your money knowing that you will have support and care as you run the race.
Right.
So it is a delicate balance, but, I don't know any of those statistics, so I can't debate it one side or the other, but you are paying for that. You know, there will be places to pee. There will be, there will mm-hmm. be zones to have water and beverages. There will be, you know, a safe path from which you can run. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these kind of things are kind of delineated when people enter the race. And right. I haven't really talked to, I know a couple people who ran it, and I have to say I haven't actually called them and seen mm-hmm. if they finished or not. Because if you said 11:30, then that means anybody who wouldn't finish the race in 2.5 hours didn't get to finish it.
Well, that's when they stopped. That's when they started stopping people from there was a certain point, I believe.
At mile seven,
yeah,
I think it was.
If you haven't passed this point, I'm sorry, you have to stop. And then they started shutting it down. They weren't letting people finish the race. And obviously, the organizers knew there was a problem when people started dropping like flies.
Yeah.
And my thing is, though, it's when you do something like this, and we're taught.
You wanted to run this
people.
Marathon, don't
I
forget.
Did.
You
I
and
did.
Me. You
I
asked
did.
Me on the air. I'm so glad we didn't.
I did.
I wouldn't have any help.
But we're taught as people that to start what you finish your plate, finish what's, we're taught as Americans that you're supposed to do what you're supposed to go to school and finish. You're supposed to file these paths. You're supposed to set a goal and you're supposed to claim it. And for someone who set this goal in March,
right.
it would have to be, it just must be absolutely devastating. It must be a total head fuck, to use the expression,
yeah.
must be a total head fuck to, for someone to say, no, you can't finish. You have
right.
to stop your, but the flip side of that is you could put your life in danger and you really could put yourself in a very precarious position. So
yeah.
I feel totally bad for the people who didn't get to finish, but at the end of the day, you know what, folks, you got to take responsibility for your own health. So it's so very American.
Yeah.
I read this one blog posting from someone in London. They said, this is such an American problem.
Yeah.
And it rang so true that, you know, we should do this and we should do that and we should finish and people. Blah. So enough about the marathon, but it's just so interesting that everyone is talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the blogosphere is that there's 360 degrees of buzz. You can find every opinion and every comment everywhere. So
yeah.
HuffPo really stayed away from this one, which is interesting. It'll probably take a few more days till it gets over there.
Huh. Well, we'll see what she says.
We'll see what she says.
But hey, folks, there is a big thing that you need to do this week.
Uh-huh.
And definitely, this is something that we do want you to do and try to finish and complete. But, you know, the House Committee on Education and Labor was meeting last week about the ENDA, about Employment Not Discrimination Act. And there was all of this controversy that possibly the bill would not include gender identity.
And? And it's not just that, actually. There's a significant amount of other things that are left out of this bill. But that is the one big push and pull. The other one is domestic partner benefits. For companies that provide domestic partnership benefits for straight couples.
Right.
Enda originally read that we want you to extend this to gay couples.
Right.
So if you provide it for straight people, we're asking for it for gay people. We're not just asking for it for gay people.
Right.
We're saying if you provide this benefit, and that's another pretty pivotal one that a lot of the news media was staying way away from because they didn't have the facts or they didn't know it. But that's another important one that was included.
Well, this Friday, in just a couple of days from when you're listening to this, it's a make or break time. Representative Barney Frank is going to be counting how many votes he has in the House for the original bill, which includes gender identity. And it's up to everybody to make sure that those votes are there, or at least that's what Peter and I believe. We definitely want our trans brothers and sisters included.
Completely. They're part of the picture.
Please, please, please call or email your representative today. I don't know who you are that's listening to this. I don't know where you live. So you're going to have to do a little bit of that research on your own if you do not know who your state representative is. For Peter and I, it's Jan Schakowsky. That's pretty easy, and she's very GLBT friendly, and I have a feeling that she will vote for this, the original bill. But I recommend you calling her, emailing her, or your own representative, whatever state you're listening to the show in. So just urge them to support INDA, including the original language protecting victims of discrimination based on gender identity. It has to happen. It's going to, you know, it's going to need to email this or call before Friday, because Friday is the make or break time, so you don't have much time.
If you don't know how to find your representative, go to thetaskforce.org. It's the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. They have ways for you to click through and to figure out who your particular representative is. So many of them these days, in fact, I would dare say almost all of them, allow you, if you know how to listen to a podcast, you know how to send an email, and you know how to fill out a web form, and it's so easy to do. It is thetaskforce.org, and you can go there and you can figure out how to talk to your representatives. It'll let you put your address in, your state, blah, blah, blah. You'll click through and you'll find out who your people are. So even if you don't know who they are right now when you're listening to this, we need this. We need this stuff. We need these things to happen for us. It is up to us to make this happen. I don't care how many straight allies we have. It's our voices that are going to be heard for this particular one.
So make your voice heard and then go celebrate with a trans gal.
Absolutely.
On Saturday night, we're doing
she's
a big
not a
plug.
Trans gal.
Well,
she's, you know,
she's not, but she is.
But she is.
this Saturday, we're doing a plug for her because we weren't able to get her on the show, but our good friend Hedda Lettuce got a shout out from Hedda this week. She's like, Amy, please mention this on the podcast. So I am. Hedda Lettuce Show is coming to Chicago one night only. It's Saturday, October 13th at 10 o'clock at the Lakeshore Theater, right here across the street from Peter and I in our studio. Tickets are only $20, folks. Couldn't be any cheaper.
And they have a full bar.
And they have a full bar. Now, you get VIP tickets for $30 with a post-show cocktail reception, and you can sit in the first five rows. For $10, that's a pretty good damn deal. So go to the Lakeshore box office.
Queen of Green, Hedda Lettuce.
That's right. It's ticketweb.com, or you can go to Lakeshore Theater, and that's with an ER.com, and get your tickets to Hedda Lettuce this Saturday night at 10 o'clock. That'll be a great way to celebrate you making your voice heard, I think,
Absolutely. And what was on the front of the New York Times today? What has my cause been? What has my, you know, I've been looking out for the elderly
GLBT,
the aging community, and the New York Times did a 2-page article. And it was interesting. The article, the Times tends to, in my opinion, the Times tends to come at an article with a decision. And this time they really didn't. They just presented what's going on and that our community has a problem and they have a problem with aging. And it was very well written. It was very well put together.
And our very own Renee Ogletree was mentioned in the article. Renee Ogletree, a bit big activist in the Chicago GLBT community and the lesbian community and the cancer community. Big shout out to Renee here in the New York Times. So if you haven't seen the New York Times from Tuesday, October, well, actually it was published in October 9th.
That's today. Tuesday, October 9th.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. It's a great article and you can probably check it out on the web as well.
And it just,
it
only goes to reinforce that, you know, lookoutfilms.net, 10 more good years, 10 more good years.org. That is, Mike Jacoby's film about this exact subject. And if you are in an area where you haven't seen this film, please contact Mike and help with the donation because he will bring the film to you and he will explain it and he will introduce it to your community. Because you know what? Everybody listening to this, in 40 years, where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? You're right. going to be older than you are today, and you want someone to take care of you and to be sensitive to what you've got going on. You know, God willing, I'll be doing this podcast in 40 years from
there
now.
There you go.
I'll be podcasting for 40 years, but still, it's just important.
You'll have a younger, fresher Amy.
Really?
It won't be me.
Yeah,
it'll be
like
Linda Carter when we're looking for a new Wonder Woman.
You'll whistle on your S's.
We're looking for an Amy Matheny type.
You'll whistle when you make the letter S. You'll whistle.
Peter.
Carol Channing.
Raspberry.
What? Turn it up, Amy. I can't hear it.
So we have a really big show. I have other things to talk about, but I'm just going to talk about the next show because this is a really big show with Neil Paris, our favorite astrologer. Neil is somebody we used to talk to on Windy City Radio. He is the cutest queer astrologer you will ever see. Plus, he's just hits the nail on the head. And he is not only going to tell us about what we're going through right now, which is so much stuff. You're really going to want to listen to this show if you're at least bit titillated by astrology.
Even
but
if
also,
you're not, it might be eye-opening.
I think
or
so.
Ear-opening.
Oh, well, we've got the whole Mercury retrograde thing going on. Everybody should know, especially if you're listening to this, you've got some technology in your life. And also, he's going to take some, do some readings for some of our listeners. So that in the show, plus lots of news and much, much more. And hey, coming up later in the week, we're going to have an awesome podcast with those altar boys.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you about Lucy Lawless that in the next podcast. So you're not going to want to miss that.
And I have to beg the people who listen to our show, I have to beg you in just one little teeny itsy bitsy little tiny thing that I know a lot of you use iTunes. And if you like our show, please drop us a comment in iTunes. We could use it.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this stuff for a year now, and I can only register one time in iTunes and make, and I can't even write my own comments because it's the podcast that I put in. But if you like our show, please drop us a comment. Even if you don't put it on our website, it would mean so much if you did it in iTunes. We could really, really use the feedback because it means that the more comments we get, the more great things we can bring to you guys. So please, please, please leave us a comment in iTunes. Okay, I'm done begging.
There he did. That was.
I was on my knees.
It was a few pleases. Wow.
I know. I was on my knees. Big bubbly ass in the air.
I was about to get embarrassed for you, but you stopped, so it's good. Go to iTunes.
I
That's what I say. Fuck
I
you.
Embarrassed.
Go to iTunes and give us a freaking comment.
Please.
We'll be back after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk, or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly, you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob, all in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker, because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
1963. Picture four guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. Four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right, I need you, baby.
The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 8th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Innovation, sensuality, and creativity will be on display as Complexions Contemporary Ballet takes the stage at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University for two nights only, November 10th and 11th. Tickets to Complexions Contemporary Ballet are available through Ticketmaster and at the Auditorium box office.
David Sedaris, one of America's most prolific humor writers, brings his wit and social criticism to the Center for Performing Arts at Governor State University in an exclusive Chicago reading Friday, October 19th at 8 o'clock. Time Out New York says David Sedaris just may be the funniest man alive. For tickets to David Sedaris, call 708-235-2222 or visit centertickets.net.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater presents Stephen Dietz Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to Fiction, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Writers Theater presents the world premiere of Evan Smith's The Savannah Disputation. Time Out Chicago raves, it's a sneak attack of religious interrogation disguised as an episode of The Golden Girls. For tickets to The Savannah Disputation at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalaya Sun. A touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor and compassion why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times calls it marvelous. No Child is playing now. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or lookingglasstheater.org.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago premiere of The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed plays only through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets.
Kinsey Six, America's favorite drag a cappella beauty shop quartet, combines rich a cappella harmonies and madcap comedy in their new smash hit Condoleezza Palooza at College of DuPage's Mackinac Arts Center, The Mac, on Saturday, October 20th at 8 o'clock. Check out the girls' website at kinsey6.com or call 630-942-4000. That's KINSEYSICKS.com.
Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Altar Boys is playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a hilarious, unsettling trilogy about three small towns and three politically charged epics who stage the historic Passion Play. Award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic exposes the thorny relationship between politics and a religion. Playing now only through October 21st. Call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi, this is Candace Kane, and I'd like to say gorgeous, and thanks a lot for listening to Windy City Queercast.
And this is your Windy City Queercast news. After receiving negative response from over 90 GLBT groups across the nation when news broke that a new version of the legislation introduced that omitted protections for trans people, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act EndoVote has been put on hold. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the vote will be postponed and will allow further discussion.
The young man on trial for luring a gay Brooklyn man with two other men and causing his death continues to say that he is gay too. The defense says that since their client is gay, he shouldn't be charged with a hate crime. Anthony Fortunato testified that he has been living a double life and has revealed numerous sexual encounters with men he met online. Three men have testified that they had sex with Fortunato.
Republican presidential candidate Fred Thompson has been defending his stand on gay marriage in meetings with numerous conservatives who don't feel he's conservative enough. Thompson supports a constitutional amendment that would bar judges from legalizing same-sex marriage, but favors leaving it up to state legislators to decide what to do. "I'll stop the process in its tracks because it's all judge-made," Thompson said. No state legislature accompanied by a governor's signature has gone down that road.
The U.S. Air Force has received an Ig Nobel Prize. If you're not sure what the Ig Nobel Prizes are, they're for crazy, crazy things. The Ig Nobel Prize Award this year for its proposal to develop a gay bomb. The Ig Nobel Prize is a spoof of the Nobel Prizes, and it pokes fun at ridiculous scientific achievements.
New twists have been revealed regarding the death of a soldier in Afghanistan. Soldier Sierra Durkin, a lesbian, told her family to make sure an investigation takes place if she dies. Her family is concerned that she might have been targeted because she is a lesbian.
GLAAD recently condemned News Corporation for use of the slur "shemale" when referring to a transgender woman in a New York Post mention about an upcoming dating reality show called "There's Something About Miriam." The editor of the section the slur appeared in responded with, quote, "You're kidding me, aren't you? I would have used chick with a dick, but we're a family newspaper."
A judge in Orange County, California, ruled against a lesbian high school student who was punished for kissing her girlfriend in school. The judge said the student's rights weren't violated when the school principal outed her to her mother in order to explain the reason for her punishment. Carlene Nugan claimed that the former principal singled her out because of her sexual orientation. The judge ruled that the principal had to reveal the situation to the parent in order to explain why she was being punished.
A Columbia University study reveals that Black and Latino GLBs report less mental disorders than their white counterparts. Apparently, those conducting the study had theorized that Blacks and Latinos would report more mental disorders because also of having to deal with racism.
Ellen DeGeneres connected straight lesbian icon Gina Gershon of Bound and Showgirls up with an animal psychic in order to help find her cat Cleo.
Amen.
Gershon just released a CD in search of Cleo about reuniting with her once lost furry friend.
She sings?
Yes.
Oh. A naked man was arrested for allegedly breaking into Nicolas Cage's home. Cage confronted the near-nude intruder. He was supposedly wearing one of the actor's leather jackets. Then he called the police.
Actress Bai Ling said she shared a special lesbian attraction to Angelina Jolie when working with her on two films. Ling said she would have hooked up with Jolie. There was an irresistible, quote, sexual energy. She is like me. She is totally open sexually. She also expressed interest in a threesome with Brangelina.
Oh, my.
She's a bi, you know.
Mm-hmm. Openly gay Star Trek star George Takei had an asteroid named after him. The asteroid, formerly known as 1994 GT9, is between Mars and Jupiter and was named because of his work with the human rights campaign. Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Well, folks, if you don't know much about astrology, one thing you may have heard is that Mercury is in retrograde. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means there's big catastrophic problems of communication lines, but it also means that we open up our communication lines, try to help you.
And plan, prepare. Yeah,
yes, and center yourself.
Foresee.
And we tap out and reach out to our Queercast, Windy City Queercast, favorite astrologer, mm-hmm. Neil Paris from New World Astrology. You can check him out at newworldastrology.com. Let me tell you, he'll give you a great, great, great reading. And some of our listeners may get readings tonight, but we're going to check in with Neil and see what's going on in the astrological world. Hello, Neil.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing fantastically. How are you doing, guys?
We're great.
Good.
We miss your accent.
Yes.
So I put it on very strongly for you. I'm actually not drinking tea, though. I'm drinking water here. It's not very British of me, but...
Oh, that's okay.
We like you drinking water.
Do some dirty Cockney rhyming slang. Come on, let's... No. I'll get in trouble. I get enough of that at work. It's late.
So am I right? Mercury's in retrograde right now?
It's going.
We're actually in the shadow of retrograde, but it technically goes retrograde on October 11th and 12th, depending on which coast you're on. But the late night October 11th and early morning October 12th is when specifically it happens. But we're in the shadow right now, which means that people might notice a lot of things from the past are starting to pop up again. Mercury retrograde always brings people and situations from the past back into your life. So it's a time of a 3-week period to kind of go back and tie up things you've already set in motion, whatever
now,
that may be.
It seems like every time I go into a retrograde, it seems travel kind of, the bus messes up, the train messes up, phone calls get missed, emails get lost. Is that sort of a natural progression that communication is whacked? Or
that's it. Yeah, Mercury is the planet of communication. It relates to your skateboard, your bike, however you're moving around, the bus. I've had problems in LA on the subway when retrograde Mercury happened 1 year when I actually had to sit inside the tunnel and the lights went out.
Oh,
no. Dead. So that was my trip gone. And buses break down, tires are blown. So if you have a car, it's a good idea in the next couple of days just to take it in for a little bit of a checkup if there's anything that might be slightly off already.
Good
to know.
It's
not the best time for getting new computers. If you can, try and avoid. I don't like getting too superstitious about these things, but try to avoid buying new telephones, new cell phone plans, DSL connections, all that kind of thing. Because if you do, chances are you'll have to take it back and have something redone with it if you do it after the 11th and the 12th.
So how long does it go on, though? It's a three-week period.
Yes, it's actually, I like retrograde Mercury. I've decided now because it's a really good time to kind of give yourself a mental timeout to switch off, go back, and not rush. If you rush too much, Mercury will slap you on the bottom.
It's kind of
Peter likes that.
It's kind of a social reset button too. It's kind of time when you can reconnect and replug things in. But that whole travel aspect, it's like if you're supposed to be there at 6, leave it 4.
Make sure you always have a plan B when retrograde Mercury is in action. If you have travel plans, call somebody up, make sure they're going to meet you at the other end, you know, call up in advance, make sure the plane's okay. And if possible, you might have to find a different way around traffic. You know, traffic does seem to get tied up. There'll be things on the news about travel, things that could be strikes with airlines, there could be problems with the trains. You're right. Basically, just back up your plans, have a plan B. And if something does go wrong, as I always say, I always believe you're in the right place at the right time, even if it looks like it's a crazy situation.
Yeah,
Go with the flow. If something's not working, keep moving.
Absolutely. So is the 11th and 12th the beginning of it or the end of it?
That's the beginning of it, and the shadow started. Technically, we entered the retrograde shadow on September 22nd, so that's when things have been a little bit glitchy, you know, problems with communication, problems with connecting with people since then. But it technically ends on November 2nd, and the shadow continues until November 17th. So we're all in the clear by 17th of November. But if you want to get moving on things and, you know, get the computer and get the telephone and get the gifts in time for Christmas, all that stuff, November 2nd is when it ends.
Okay, because I'm buying a new computer and Peter and I are traveling over Halloween weekend to Canada, so.
Well, just make sure that you know, if you travel under retrograde, usually something unexpected will happen on the journey, but that could be okay. You could bump into somebody who's really useful for your quest in life and things like that.
So I might find a boyfriend.
You might find a boyfriend. We'd have to get him a visa and a passport, but you know what? You might find one.
Hey, why not?
That could be fun.
It could happen.
We'll just drive back from Toronto. That's how it'll work.
Exactly. And can run past the border control quickly.
Keep your Halloween mask too, so you can disguise yourself.
Right. I might get mounted by a Mountie. That might be
good. Yeah, Peter will be dressed as Britney Spears, so it'll be good.
I know.
But I'll be wearing panties, I promise.
Peter will wear panties. So what else is going on? Is something going on with Saturn?
Yes, we have a couple of things. Actually, before we talk about Saturn, there's a new moon tomorrow. So depending on when you listen to this, the new moon is falling. I'm losing track of the days here. It'll be falling on Wednesday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's tomorrow.
So the new moon is always a good time. I love new moons because think of it as new moon, new beginning. It's the time in the lunar cycle when you get a chance to kind of throw out some wish seeds to the universe. And they're the best times when they're more likely to grow faster.
What would that look like, throwing out wish seeds?
Yeah, duck quickly. Basically, however you want to do this, you can light a candle, you can sit and meditate for a few minutes. It's just a period of time when if you focus on what you specifically want, it has more of a chance of growing.
It's kind of like that
time in the cycle when you can start something new. And you know what? We're on that kind of tail end of the last lunar cycle right now today. And what I've noticed is people's sleep cycles around these new and full moons always seem to get a bit wacky. Mm. So if energy's been a bit strange and your sleep patterns have been a bit odd this week,
yeah,
it's because we're moving into this new lunar cycle, which starts tomorrow. So when I say planting seeds, wishes, focus on what you want. Forget all the stuff that's not working out. Forget all the things that you're not getting. And tomorrow, for a couple of days, it's really, really strong, for maybe about 3 days maximum. Focus on what you really, really want. Make a list if you want. Write it out. Stick it near the computer so you see it every day. Stick it on the mirror. Focus on what you really want. And depending on where it falls in your chart, you know, the 12 houses of your wheel, each of those 12 houses represents a different area of your life, and wherever that new moon falls shows where you can plant new seeds and where new beginnings will happen.
I'm going to write, I would like a boyfriend all over my house right now.
We'll start it.
All over the place.
It's funny that you say that, though, because I sleep like a log, and I had the worst night's sleep last night. It was so strange. Mm-hmm. I woke up at like 2:30. I woke up at 4. I never wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe once, but I'm not really awake. I mean, I woke up.
The same thing.
I've
noticed it more and more as time goes by, but if you keep a calendar handy and look for when the new moons and the full moons fall, always the new moons are a new surge of energy. And the day before the new moon is usually a time when the energy gets the strangest. You just kind of kind of done. You want to give up on something. You want to finish something off. You don't want to kind of carry on. And the next day, the new moon, is when you have this new burst of energy to try something new. So you can launch yourself then, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Is that a very geographic phenomenon? Because I know we do have listeners outside of the United States. So does it, I would imagine there has to be a little bit of geography associated with that, or is it purely planetary cut and dry?
I think from what I've seen and talking to so many people, I think it's purely just based on, I think with the moon more than anything else, I think it's based on the pull of the liquids on the planet. And you know how they say that the human body is made up of so much water. Mm-hmm. We have our own emotional tides. Yep. And so when the moon is full and it's pulling on the planet, it's pretty much a planetary effect. Everyone will be feeling that emotionally on some level. And I mean, everyone has varying degrees of what their actual result will be, but you'll always be pulled on some level. Some people get very, very emotional, very, very active. Mm-hmm. Or some people just get, you know, want to sleep all day. Some people actually find the opposite, where they just have little energy and they can sleep for an entire 2-day period.
Wow.
So Right. Everyone gets affected, but it depends on where it is in your birth chart, and which we'll go through today, in the 12 houses. Whichever house it falls in will be where you'll be affected the most.
So tell us, let's dive a little bit into, we're going to move.
Well, I want to talk about Saturn okay, really we'll quick. Saturn. And then we'll move into some specific readings.
Okay.
What's going on with Saturn?
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week, isn't there, guys? Okay, Saturn is the planet that relates to your work, discipline, and, you know, karma, whatever you want to call that. It could be stuff you've been working on from past lives that might have dragged into this lifetime. It's stuff that you have to work out in this lifetime. And it's just moved signs into Virgo recently. It'll be there for 2 years. And again, it will affect everyone's chart differently. But it asks you to clean up a certain area of your life, get a bit more disciplined, get a bit more organized, get a bit healthier in the process. So Saturn is saying to people, you need to clear the cobwebs out. If you have bad habits, it's time to get rid of those things that are keeping you back in all those 12 different areas of your life. And again, today we'll go through different people's readings, hopefully, and we'll work out exactly where Saturn is, and we can talk about you guys too, if you like.
Excellent.
And we'll see what Saturn is going to tell you that you need to get together, otherwise it's always going to be a pain in your butt for the rest of this year and into next year too if you don't get it right. It's the taskmaster of the universe that's going to slap you.
Two years. All right. Well, we definitely have some people that we're going to read, but let's start with me, because I'll be a brave soul. I'm not going to tell you. You know, you have all my information, so I don't have to put that out there. People know I'm a Libra, or maybe they know.
She was born in 1943.
I was born in 1986.
Lies.
So I obviously just had a birthday. September 24th. Most people do know. So what is this Saturn year Virgo looking like for me?
Yeah, you know, I'll just say a tip for the wise: do not give an astrologer the wrong birthday just because you want to look younger, which has happened to me before in the past.
Really?
I have sat, and of course, from the beginning, it was like, yeah, this doesn't seem really to be working out very well.
No, you have mine, but it is under lock and key. So there you are.
The secret information. Okay, Saturn is moving through your ninth house of your chart. What's the ninth house? The ninth house is the house of your beliefs. It's the house that relates to religious energy. It's the house that relates to your studies. So basically, Saturn moving through there is saying you need to get more disciplined on A, your beliefs.
Yep.
What exactly do you believe? Are you throwing old beliefs out? Are you finding your own philosophy of life? And the ninth house is the house of higher knowledge. It means that maybe you're cramming your brain with new information from books, you're taking new classes, or you should be studying new things. You need to expand your life.
Computer.
The ninth house is the house of expanding your horizons.
Computer work.
He wants me to be more computer, and I want to go travel. I want to go to other countries and cultures.
Then you have to record it with your computer.
There you go.
Well, the ninth house is the house that relates to foreign lands, overseas. It's about anything that expands your world. Saturn is saying you need to get a bit more disciplined about not staying in a box. You know, if you've believed this certain thing for a long time, you can't keep on staying with that unless you expand, bring more information into your world. And if that involves taking off for other cultures, great. It actually looks like you'd probably end up traveling in this period, relating to work more than anything else, or at least for a serious trip. It wouldn't just be a frivolous trip just to go and see other places. You need to really discipline yourself. So travel and work seem to go hand in hand this year.
Wow.
But that's just where Saturn is. It's saying you need to kind of like tighten up on what you believe and also study new things, bring new information into your life.
That's cool. Anything else that you see before we move on to somebody else that's interesting in my chart? Oh, yes.
Yeah,
listen to him.
This is kind of exciting. I like this. The nodes in your chart. And everyone has the nodes in the chart, the north node and the south node. And these are what astrologers call kind of like your spiritual direction, what you're trying to achieve in this lifetime, as it were. Okay. Now, what happens to the nodes in your chart when we end this year, moving into November and December and the beginning of next year, move back to where they were when you were born? And what's going to happen is a major signpost is coming up, which is going to help you use all the knowledge that you have, all the information that you have, whether you decided to put a book out and work on a book, or whether you decided to take a call, to do a speaking class, something where you're going to tell people what you know. There's something about using all the information that you know to really move forward into a new phase. So you're going to be moving in the right direction. There's no choice about it as November and December kind of kick in. Hmm. The universe will say, go that direction. So keep your eyes and ears open. A lot of information is going to pour in, whether it's an invitation or an email or a phone call or some sort of letter or communication with someone around. But the universe is saying, that's the direction to go, and you'll be moving in the right direction then. So whatever's been going on, and there's a lot of clearing up of the past still going on right now. You're still clearing out the old phase and deciding what you don't want to be dealing with anymore. But November, December are great months to really be moving into a new horizon, new direction.
Hmm. Cool.
It's very fresh. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. It's, is that in my north and south node, or is that in my...
Yes, but the north node is moving to where your birth north node was, and your south node is moving to where your south node was. So, so Saturn is lingering around, just to wrap up, Saturn is lingering around your south node right now.
Okay.
Never a nice thing, because it's basically dragging up all that old stuff from the past.
Yeah, it's
old relationship stuff, all the old ways you've been relating to people right now are being kind of tested. And basically, it's stuff from childhood, it's stuff from what you've, what your parents taught you of how life should be. It's all the things that people are telling you. As November and December kick in, you get a chance to experience it for yourself and say, okay, you've told me that's how life needs to be, or that's how things should be. You're going to say, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to go this direction instead. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're right on target. I'm with you.
So
I'm
big thumbs up there, and it's an exciting time, and this is like a 19-year period. Really, your life, you're going to be expanding in so many directions. I mean, anybody who knows you now is just going to see you take off and go in a whole different direction. It's going to be really exciting. So
very exciting. Well, we'll talk in February. So our good listener, Diane, she is April 19th, 1968, born at 4 a.m. in Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, she's a local Yoko.
What do you see in Diane's life?
Wow. Diane has 6 placements in the sign of Aries, the first sign of the zodiac.
Can you tell she plays with computers?
Which is very, 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 very direct, very, very confrontational. But interestingly enough, she came into this lifetime, Diane came into this lifetime, with a lot of Libra energy, which is the opposite sign to that. So she's learning this lifetime to really kind of, I guess you could say, play the guy's game. She's having to learn to be more assertive, more aggressive, more pushy. She's not meant to be thinking as much about relationships in this lifetime. She can be in them and she can have people around, but she's really kind of out for herself. She's pioneering new ground. So that's a really, really exciting lifetime for her. Now, right now, I think she's asking about what's going on right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I think she had some interest in work and where she's living.
Okay, let's have a look at that. Yeah, she's been going through some interesting stuff. She's going through a kind of a cleansing phase right now, like we said with you, she's clearing out the past, but she cannot hold on right now. She's clearing a lot of these old things out. As far as where she lives goes, Mars is in her house of home, which is perfect. Mars is where you're directing your energy, and it's in her fourth house right now, which is the house relating to your domestic life. Now, is she thinking of moving, or did she say specifically what that was?
Yeah, I think that there's a potential for a move in the upcoming year.
Okay.
That would affect career and all of that.
Yeah, I think moving with it is a great thing. Mars right now is triggering a lot of that home energy. So Saturn really does get you moving in the direction you need to go. A lot of times people don't like it because they get stuck in the patterns and they get stuck in their rut. And Saturn comes along and says, yeah, I need you over here in this direction. So I think moving forward is a really good idea. So I think in a chart, yes, I think it's a good time to do that. If a relationship is involved with Diane, try not to get stuck in what the other person is saying, because if you get stuck into listening to other people too much in this lifetime, this is a lifetime for you to kind of pioneer ahead. Your lifetime will consistently be about letting go of one phase of life and moving into a new one. Letting go, moving into a new one. Letting go, moving into a new one. So if this career choice involves moving to a new home, go with it. This is the life to start many, many new things. So if it's been a while since you've started a new project or you've moved to a new place, do it. Do not get stuck too long in the same place. You have to keep moving ahead.
Excellent.
Diane is on the move.
Diane is on the move.
So
Sorry.
Wait, before we get to the next person, I have a question about what's going on behind the scenes. So you actually use these dates to plot exactly where the planets are, and then based on where they are around the birth chart, is that how you interpret the symbols? Because it's such a mystery how it all works. I mean, you obviously don't know every birthday and every spot on everything in the entire world, but what's a little bit of the science behind that?
You think it's mind-boggling when you look at it. If you see the things I look at, and Amy, I think you've seen a copy of your physical chart.
Yeah, right?
I've seen mine. I've had mine
Neil's
done before,
done
and I've seen the wheel. But
you're right, Peter. You have this circle that's divided into 12, and wherever the planets were when you were born, that's the energy that will stay with you. And you know, everyone's heard of the law of attraction. Wherever the planets were when you were born in these specific areas of the chart will show the energies that you'll be playing with for your entire life. You can bring it in through the relationships around you. Your partners could be playing those things out for you. You can meet them with random situations that happen to you outside on the street, someone you meet on the bus, on the subway. Wherever you are, career, relationships, family, these are things you will attract because they're things that your soul, the theory goes, has chosen to experience in this lifetime through the chart, okay? Mm. Now, the way you do horoscopes and work out what's going on now is you move the planets where they are now through that, on the outside of that chart, and where if they're interacting with those planets on the inside of where they were when you were born, they'll be affecting different areas of your life. So everyone's at a different part of the cycle. Everyone's at a different stage of the journey, and everyone's being affected, kind of like clockwork, in different parts of the life, and it's to test you out in certain areas and say, this is what you want to experience, can you move? It's like a big game, this massive giant game that everyone's playing, and everyone's being affected differently. That's why not everyone can have the same things at the same time. So it's very hard, because you look around and say, that person's got exactly the thing that I want, and it's driving me crazy. That job, that computer, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, but everyone has to experience things at different times in the cycle, and that's the beauty of this kind of giant game.
Hmm.
Excellent.
It's a wonderful menagerie of all our little planets.
It's a big chess game.
I have Andrew. Andrew's birthday is May 27th, 1967. Born in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, early morning. And he is interested in knowing about career, since he is not currently working in the career in which he studied. And he wouldn't mind hearing about love, which most people like to hear about.
Who is really
working? We don't have a specific birth time, so, which is always a great thing if you have that. If you can dig it out somewhere, it'll give you a lot more information specifically. But what we can say, let's have a look. It's interesting. The new moon that falls tomorrow for Andrew is actually sitting right on top of his Mars, which is actually rather pleasurable. Mars is the part of your chart that relates to energy. It relates to action. It relates to something's going to happen. Okay.
Messenger.
So if he's been sitting thinking, oh, my life's just not going the right place, it's just not moving, I'm bored, I feel lethargic, this new moon, Andrew, is going to open up doors. It's going to say, get moving, I'm going to give you something to do. You know, getting out the house is a really good thing too. If you're sitting around too much right now, it's going to just exacerbate the problem and really irritate you. Mars is also the planet of anger and aggression. And if you're not using your chart, things come along that really annoy the hell out of you. So as far as career goes, a lot of energy will be thrown your way. Don't sit around. You have something in your chart. You have Mars in your chart opposite Saturn, which is the planet we talked about before, which is about discipline and hard work. It's kind of a push-pull in your life. You've got the Mars side of your personality, which will push, sometimes at the wrong time when you're over-aggressive. Then you've got the Saturn side of your personality, which sits there and says, there's too much red tape, there's too much authority, there's just too much going on, I'm pushing my head against a brick wall, forget it. And then you stop. What's happening with this new moon is it's going to highlight the Mars part of your personality, which says, go for it, open up the doors, knock on the doors, tell people you're there, tell people you exist, push ahead, go ahead. You're going to have to move through some of that red tape still, and mainly Saturn's the planet that relates to fear. Wherever Saturn is in your chart relates to a fear that you have, and because it's opposite your Mars in the chart there, I think more importantly than anything else right now, it's saying, do it, even if you feel like it's not going to really work out. And it's a time factor. Saturn in your chart sometimes makes you stop doing things and giving up because you think, is my ship ever going to come in? Mm-hmm. But this new moon is going to give you a lot of energy. And it's going to help you open up these doors. Don't sit on your butt because this next few weeks is going to give you a lot of that energy to get things moving too. So you'll have plenty of reasons to be getting up doing things. Use your energy more. And actually, the more you physically use your energy and not sit around waiting for things and don't push against brick walls, just keep moving ahead, you'll find the universe will keep opening up more doors. Universe will attract, you guys have heard the law of attraction. Everyone's been talking
Absolutely.
About that lately. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's really astrological. It really is in nature because the energy that you put out magnetically will always be coming back to you. So even if you don't have the things you want, as long as you're putting energy in the directions of the things you want, the universe kind of reflects that back to you and bring information and people to you. So there's some good things for him there. I think it really is about his energy right now. He just needs to sometimes give up a little bit too soon. So don't give up just yet.
Let's move on to Cynthia, born March 11th, 1980 at 10:23 a.m. in Rochester, Michigan, near the Detroit metro area. And she has a specific question. She's saying that she's usually very driven and feeling very positive and passionate, but lately she's been feeling like things are unraveling and she's feeling defeated or lost. And is there some changes coming up, or if she's going to shake this? Now, some of what you've been saying is we all may be feeling a little bit like that right now, but what else do you see in Cynthia's chart?
Yeah, it's interesting. Cynthia's going through some pretty intense things going on here. I don't know how much we could really get into that on the radio. And you know what I want to say, too, with these readings is we're taking small parts of the chart out of context. And obviously the whole chart you really need to look at in more depth because you need to synthesize a lot of things. We're just taking certain parts and pieces out of people's lives, which is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But as a whole with Cynthia, there's a lot of intense stuff going around. It just kind of leaps off her chart. Obviously we don't have her physically here to talk to, but there's some sort of loss that she's just experienced or gone through. There's a knock, a bolt from the blue, which has taken something from her life. And I think that the amount of pain that she might be going through is in relation to how much she's holding on to that and trying to keep it around, whether it's a person, some financial situation, or something like that. So right now, it looks like there's probably one more confrontation with this stuff that's lingering around, one more confrontation before she can kind of kiss it goodbye. So if you can, Cynthia, new moon's tomorrow, if you can, the next couple of days, really just let go of that stuff. It might be stuff you really think, well, I need this, I want this, I just can't live without this. This is just, it's a power issue in your life. And what the chart's saying right now is that things are meant to unravel. You have a Capricorn moon, that's your emotions. A Capricorn's a sign that likes to keep things in control. And it's in the eighth house of your chart, which is the house that relates to control. So you're born with an energy where sometimes you want things a certain way, and when things don't go that way, you're going to see it as unraveling. So you know what? This is the universe saying to you, these things you do not need to keep in control right now. You do not need to have this a certain way. Life is showing you a bigger picture. It's showing you how things can be differently. And actually, at the end of this, you'll have a lot more freedom. Right now, it looks like you're losing a lot of things. So I think really embrace it. Embrace the unraveling, as they say.
And our last person that we're going to do a little reading for tonight is Angie, May 27th, 1970, born in Chicago at 9:20 a.m. and has really not been in a relationship in a couple of years. 2.5 years, something happened and hasn't been in a relationship for a while and wants to know, you know, what is the chart looking like for love or relationship since she feels that maybe she might be moving toward getting ready for that.
She is actually experiencing, Angie's going to be experiencing what we talked about in your chart, this 19-year cycle. The nodes are returning to where they were when she was born.
Mm.
And her north node, the part of destiny she's trying to get to in this lifetime, is in her eighth house. That's the house that relates to intimacy. It relates to lots of emotional changes. So she's had to experience a lot of loss in this lifetime, a lot of those chapter closures, like that last call that we talked about. So intimacy, you cannot avoid intimacy, Angie. That's the thing in this lifetime. You might think, haven't I had someone around to curl up with and hold on to? You're going to have that. That's what the universe has scheduled for you in this lifetime. Interestingly enough, you were born with Venus, the planet of relationships, in your 12th house. The 12th house is a house that relates to secrets. And what I've noticed with clients that have the Venus in the 12th house is often they get involved with people who are either married or unavailable, unobtainable somehow. So there could be really, you know, when you listen to this, ask yourself whether the relationships you're after are a little bit too secretive and a little bit too kind of either in the closet or hidden, and you can't quite have them, and that's been causing a lot of problems for you. Mars right now is sitting on top of that Venus in the chart, so it's really saying to you, out that side of yourself, out the things you want. And if you can't bring those things out into the light of day for other people to see that and yourself, you'll bring a lot of all that past lifetime energy of hiding from the world. So maybe in another lifetime you had a relationship that was, you know, frowned upon. Maybe in this lifetime people are not supporting your choices and relationships still. It's time to out that and say, this is what I want. If you can provide that for me, great. If not, I need to move on. But intimacy you cannot avoid, and you will find as this year ends and the new year begins, there will be plenty of opportunities coming your way to open up, but you're going to have to trust. That's the big issue for Angie, is can she trust and let her guard down? If she can, it's going to work out fantastically.
Wow. See?
Look at that wonderful, wonderful taste. And folks, Neil's just kind of getting started on all this stuff.
I have to tell you,
it's just the tip of the iceberg there. Neil, I have a question though. I know a lot of people, when they start to approach astrology, there's a million different things to think about and a million different ways you can kind of amass this. And lately I've been sort of on a reading kick and trying to read and better myself. Are there any books or any places you can recommend to read good information about astrology and maybe your path or having good habits astrologically? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's actually a very good book out there if you want me to give you...
I would love a recommendation.
There's a fantastic book that I've loved, which will give you... it's about these nodes that we talked about. The South Node, just as a quick little astrology lesson, the South Node shows what your family give you in this lifetime, and it shows what you were brought up with, what you were trained to be. But the South Node is really kind of a past life energy. You can see there's your family tree, or you can see there's other lifetimes if you so choose. And what it shows, the North Node is opposite that. And the North Node is saying, you're trying to move away from that in this lifetime. So what you're trained with as a child, in many ways, you do have to break free from. And so what this book will show you is it will show you the North and South Node. The North Node is the energy and the sign that you're trying to become more like in this lifetime. And if you move towards your North Node, it's your spiritual North, as it were, your compass point. If you move towards that, doors will open, life will work out. You'll notice that if you sit in your South Node too much, life repeats, you repeat old patterns, and you just don't get anywhere. It's an addiction. The South Node is where people are addicted at playing that part of their lives out. So the book is called Astrology for the Soul, and it's by Jan Spiller. They can email me and I'll send them the information too. It's a fantastic book. Anything that you research, the nodes, it's NODES. The nodes in astrology are, anybody wants to study astrology, and everybody should, it's a fantastic field, is look up the nodes, find out the nodes. The nodes are a really exciting part of the chart, and they give a wealth of information, so much information out there.
Yeah, I got it. I think I have this book. I think this is the book that you and I discussed like a year ago because I was reading all about my node. I can't remember what my node is. It's like my north node is Pisces, Aries, Sagittarius. I can't remember.
Your node, Amy, is your north node is Pisces, which is the spiritual planet. It's the sign that relates to dissolving back into the source of everything. So your life will always bring you back into, how does this connect me to the big source of energy that's out there? That's what your life will always push you towards.
Yeah. It's a fascinating book. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really, really good book.
If you're interested, Peter, yours is Libra. Your north node's Libra, and that's about moving away from your Aries south node. Your Aries south node means you came in with training on being a warrior. You learned from... being at home and being a kid and being around about fighting and about aggression and about war and warrior energy. And you're moving away from that into Libra, which is learning to be more diplomatic and more peaceful, and we're not having such a temper. And I mean, I have the same one, so I can say that.
Yep. Normalizing.
And it's hard because you were born with so much aggressive energy and so much aggressive energy and impatience, and you want to do it now, and you want people to be upfront, and you want to just have it on the table, and you don't want people playing strange games. You just want to say, give it to me straight. And Libra is saying, just take it easy. You've got to learn to be a negotiator, a mediator, a peacemaker, and it's going to drive you crazy because you're always going to be the person who ultimately inside says, why are you taking an hour at the checkout to pay for your groceries? Get out of here.
Peter can do 10 things in an hour that most people can barely do one in an hour. So he definitely has that forward-driven energy. Now,
I should say, Amy, which is just for fun, just to balance the scales, because I have my North Node and Libra too. I have to say that, and the flip side of yours with the Virgo South Node is too much Virgo energy, which is that constantly thinking, analyzing, breaking it apart, saying, detail-oriented. Should I do this? Is that right? Is that the right thing to do? Should I not do that? I need to have the details together. That's the side of you. It's always collecting information and not fully acting on it because you're not quite sure fully if you have all the right information, you'll be okay. But that's an endless addictive path for you.
That's why we have a good show together,
it's
though. Her
awful.
And I, we,
it's
we work
true.
Together
because I have
together.
To look at every side of a situation. It's annoying as hell.
I'm like, just get it fucking done and
that's
do
right.
it.
That's right. We totally balance each other out.
Absolutely.
Hey Neil, if people now, your website is newworldastrology.com, and just real quick to give you a plug here, what kind of things can people? Because I know that as a gift, I got a reading from you, and it's really amazing. And there are different. I think some people think like, oh, it's, like there's a lot of different ways in which somebody might be able to do this for a holiday gift. Of course, you might want to do this after November 2nd. I don't know if that has anything to do with communication, but
or right it's away, a great Sweetest Day is coming up. It's just around the corner.
Sweetest Day, and for birthdays, it's a great gift, or for Christmas, it's a really great gift to give somebody or give yourself, you know, as you head into a new year or a new time period. So what kind of things can people access on your website that they might be able to sit down and talk to you one-on-one or have you send them information?
Yeah, the readings and reports that are on the site are for you, regardless of what cycle you're in right now, whatever you're going through. Even if life's kind of plain sailing and you think everything seems fine, it's a great idea to see what cycles are upcoming, because the universe will bring things your way. And it's kind of like your personal weather forecast, you know. Am I going to be focusing on having to focus on career things coming up in the next few months? It's a great idea for that. It's a great idea, as you said, to check in on your birthday too, get a little bit of a heads up and look at what's happening for the year ahead. So I have different readings and reports that are on the site. You can go to New World Astrology and you can check it out. There's things that, you know, you can give to your partners, people you've just met. If you just met someone, you can find out more about them yourself. There's relationship compatibility reports where you can, you know, you can compare your chart to somebody else's. There's a great report which I just have now, which I've teamed up with two fantastic astrologers, Kim Falconer and Mystic Medusa. And the report's called Saturnalia, and it's a 70-page report, and it will go through all the Saturn stuff right now. So if you're thinking, I really don't know what the Saturn is, it sounds creepy, and what's my karma right now, what am I meant to be focusing on? That report will go through all the different individual signs and give you a breakdown of that. And there's many things. There's also a lunar return subscription now, where if you want to work out what's happening monthly for you, if you read horoscopes out there and think it's just too general, this is specifically for your chart. It will give you a month-by-month breakdown, and I'll email you those reports every month, and it'll tell you what's going on in the month for you and give you more choices of things you can be focusing on. Because really, our soul set out to decide to experience certain things. And if you use astrology as a tool, you can focus on the things and things will work out easier for you. You can take the scenic route and enjoy yourself, or you can bat yourself around like a pinball machine and come to the same conclusion, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I had a good friend who said it's kind of like cards. Knowing what your future is like cards. It's up to you to play them, but the hand is there. You've just got to play it yourself.
Your chart says, I mean, you know, some people are born being writers, creatives, some people are the mathematicians, some people are the scientists, the engineers. That's kind of like the part that the hand that's been given you, but how you play that will really determine the experience that you have. So everyone's in control of their lives. There's nothing set in stone for the future, but these cycles do exist. You know, it's kind of like the menstrual cycles, the biorhythms in the body too. And, you know, if you know the cycles and know your personal energy and you know these nodes in certain parts of the chart, you can really get a great handle. And the things that you understand when you have a good reading, and anyone who tries to go for a reading with someone, if you come away thinking, I know a lot of that information, it's something that was inside, that's a good sign, because it's just astrology about bringing out what's already there and really kind of polishing it and helping you experience a better life. So like these nodes, you know, I mean, you know, Peter, like I do, you know, you have that aggressive side inside, mm-hmm. It's a gift, but you know that it can obviously sometimes undo certain things for you. And the same with Amy, you've got that kind of energy side that's very good with details, but sometimes it can trip you up because you can get so much wrapped up in the pulling the things apart to try and analyze it that you kind of lose sight of the picture, you know?
Yeah.
And these are the things, if you know that, at least you can move beyond those things. If not, people sometimes get stuck in so many of these old patterns that their life becomes about untangling from so much stuff that they've amassed over the years, you know? And then they start blaming everybody else, of course, for all those things too. So.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting that we get to move into this new moon and have this new surge, and that maybe we all do need to look at this new 2 years of Saturn. Mm-hmm. And so definitely check out newworldastrology.com.
Sorry to interrupt you, no. If you would like to know about for the two of you, to give you some ideas for wish seeds, that Amy, for you, it's for your career and for your kind of, you know, your life path outside in the working world. So it's a good kind of springboard to new things. And for Peter, it's actually relating to your home and family. So if you want to kind of decorate the home and you want to kind of make the home comfier, or decide if where you're living is really right for you, or even decorate the place and put some paint up and make it more comfy, or also resolve some things from the family or just psychologically that you're still carrying from the family, it's a great time for that tomorrow, for the new moon, to resolve some of that stuff inside. So there you go.
You saw the pictures on the dining room table, Amy.
He does. He's all about doing this house. It's getting fantastic.
Bit by bit.
Clear all the stuff that you have. I think your chart right now is saying clear out all that stuff that you know, the stuff you don't wear, all the boxes of things that you have stashed. It's really a time of clearing out all that stuff from the house too, as well. So.
The recording studio we're sitting in.
This recording studio. It's awesome. Well, Neil Paris from newworldastrology.com, thank you so much.
We
have to talk to you again soon, as opposed to later.
Mm-hmm. And yep. And.
and we'll definitely hopefully send some people your way. He is an amazing astrologer. We have a long career with Neil for many, many years, and so check out his website, newworldastrology.com. And Neil, happy new moon to you tomorrow.
Happy new moon. Enjoy throwing wishes around. Just let people know so they can duck, okay?
Excellent. Excellent. And have a good night.
Good night, guys.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.